That guy's going to be a guitar player one of these days. Woo! Yes, he is. Well, if you're here today to get baptized, we have water in the tank. Hey, don't worry about that. It just might be a stimulating morning. We hold you down here until you bubble and say tithe and together we build. That's how we do it here. Oh, I don't want to scare anybody. If you haven't figured it out yet, I'm feeling just a little goofy here this morning. I don't know if it's sleep deprivation or what it is, but my prayer is my message title this morning. My prayer is that there's somebody here looking for God. I pray that there's somebody here that have come to something of an intersection in life. Which way do I go? I'm looking for God. Well, I can tell you this much. God ain't lost. God is not lost. We hear it all the time. Well, I finally found the Lord. Well, I don't think that's necessarily true. He found you because he wasn't lost. But I want to have you turn this morning to Matthew chapter 2. We're going to look at the account of the wise men. Father, I pray this morning as we look at your word that God, that you would anoint this preacher. God, that you would forgive me of anything, God, that would stand in the way of you using me the way you would choose to use me today to declare your word. Lord, the prophets of old, the ministers of old, Lord, prayed, God, take a coal from the altar. Lord, touch these lips of clay and burn away anything, God, that would hinder the preaching and the declaration of your word. Now, Father, I thank you for it. I ask your anointing. I ask your anointing on your people today, God, that they would be able to receive your word today the way you would have them to receive it. And I give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen and amen. Stand with me this morning as we read Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 through 12. If you're able to stand, stand. If you can't, I totally understand that. Verse 1, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasure, they presented to him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Lord, thank you for your word today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Somebody lose a card. It says Emily Harp. It's an EBT card. If that's anybody, it's right here. All right. Well, glory. So only Matthew records the visit of the wise men. Not much is known about these Magi. They're traditionally called wise men. We have the nativity scene over there in the corner. It's a part of Christmas every year. However, it's wrong. It's wrong. Because the wise men didn't come to the manger. They covered thousands of miles to get to where Jesus was, and by the time they got there, he had long since departed from the manger. And so I just want to bring that up to clarify that. We don't know where they came from, to be honest with you, and we don't know how many of them there really were. Tradition says that they were men of high position from Parthia, near the site of ancient Babylon. Verse 2 records, we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So how did they know that the star represented the Messiah? I just want you to think about some things here today. What do you suppose it was that they saw in the star that represented the Messiah? I want to present to you several different thoughts concerning this today. Number one, they could have been Jews who had remained in Babylon after the exile and knew the Old Testament predictions of the Messiah coming. One thing I want to point out to you as we go through this, as we look at this, because remember that the Jews, even the Jews today that have not accepted the Lord as their Savior, what did they expect for Jesus to be? They expected that he was going to come as a ruling warrior king. However, the prophecy, if they would go back and read their own prophecy, they would find out that that's not at all who they said was coming. And you, Bethlehem, in verse 6, they said to him in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people. So that's a pretty significant sign, if you ask me. There's not many warriors out tending sheep, as far as that goes. I mean, there's certain aspects of being a shepherd that causes you to have to fight. David talks about fighting the bear and the lion and all those things. So there is that aspect, but he didn't come the way they thought. They could have been Jews that remained in Babylon after the exile, for they knew the Old Testament prediction of the Messiah coming. Number two, they may have been Eastern astrologers who studied manuscripts, ancient manuscripts from around the world. It's said that the Jewish exile, because of the exiles centuries earlier, they would have had copies of the Old Testament in their land. And number three, they may have had a special message from God. Amen? That directed them to the Messiah. Some scholars say that these Magi were each from a different land, and by them being there represented literally the entire world. That the world came through those men. These men from faraway lands recognized Jesus as the Messiah when most of God's chosen people in Israel did not and still do not. Matthew pictures Jesus as a king over the whole world, not just Judea. And when men, these Magi, traveled thousands of miles to see the king of the Jews, it was a big deal. It was a big deal that this child was born. Just the fact that he was born upset the whole apple cart, if you will. Stirred up everybody. I mean, the announcement of the birth of an infant baby has got the king beside himself. I mean, a baby in a manger is causing threat to the king on the throne. King Herod's freaking out. You guys go, when you guys find him, you come right back here and tell me, because I want to go and worship him, liar. You do not. You want to kill him. You want to take him out. Because he's a threat. When they finally found him, they responded with joy, with worship, and with gifts. Isn't that amazing? I mean, that is completely different from the approach that people often take today. Think about that for just a moment. Some expect God to come looking for us. We expect Him to explain Himself, to prove who He is, and then give us gifts. Isn't it true? If the shoe fits. But church, the truly wise still seek and worship Jesus today for who He is, not for what they can get. Not for what they can get. It's interesting that Luke records the entire other end of the spectrum. Luke says this in chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, you got to get the picture, right? These guys are out there in the nighttime minding their own business. They're taking care of the sheep. The mere fact that the sheep are out in the field, that they're on the hills, is an indication that it's not wintertime, because in the wintertime they brought the sheep in. They were out there. It was probably a nice warm night of some kind. But the reality is, here they are, they're out there, and it's nighttime, the shepherds are keeping watch over their flocks, and all of a sudden, bam! The heaven, I mean, it just erupts. I mean, you're just minding your own business, and all of a sudden, this angel, you know, he just appears out of nowhere and stands before him. The glory of the Lord, the Shekinah glory of God, is around this angel. Listen, if that's not freaking you out, hello. I mean, they had got my attention. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and the shepherds were greatly afraid. Now, if you know anything about shepherds, you know that typically there's not a whole lot that scares those guys. Right? I mean, there's just not. They're, for the most part, they're thieves and bandits anyway. So they have to fight their way through all kinds of stuff. They were the outcasts. Among the occupation of the country in those days, the shepherding was a very lowly place. These guys were outcasts. They weren't even allowed in the city. They weren't trusted by the general public, because they were most often, they were thieves. But Luke gives this story about shepherds for a reason. You know why? Because we fit that. By and large, we fit that. Jesus came not to the proud and the powerful, but to the outcast, the humble, those considered last on the social list. Can I tell you something? I hear it all the time, and I talk about it all the time, because I want to keep it fresh in your mind, but we're referred to here as South County, like it's some kind of a bad thing. Can I just tell you something? Jesus loves South County just as much as He loves North County or Central County or East or West County. He loves His people. And when God begins to do what He's going to do and what He's already doing here in South County, North County and East County and West County are going to come and find out what in the world's going on. I got five of you believe that with me. Thank you very much. Listen, a church alive is worth the drive. Amen. I'm believing God for that. Listen, these men, God brought the first news of His Son's arrival. Shepherds also have other implications in this story of the Messiah's birth, and I've talked about it already, but King David, was from whom the new king is descended, had been a shepherd most of his life. God called him from that occupation to become a shepherd over the house of Israel and the nation of Israel. Matthew makes a significant point in highlighting the worship of these wise men in contrast to the Jewish religious leaders who knew the Scripture but did not need to travel far to find their Messiah. These guys came thousands of miles. But these guys, the religious leaders, the Jewish leaders, directed the wise men to Bethlehem, but apparently they didn't go themselves, even though they were only about 5 miles away. But it wasn't important enough for them to make the 5 mile journey to see for themselves. Can I tell you something? You can't send somebody in your place to get you saved. If you're going to get saved, it's going to be because you made the journey. Because you are the one that sought out salvation. Herod asked the religious leaders and the teachers, "Tell me what the Scripture said about the location of the Messiah's birth." And these religious leaders and teachers had knowledge of the Scripture, but they lacked the desire to understand and believe. Can I tell you something? I've told you before, I'll tell you again. There's a whole lot of difference between knowing and believing. There's a stark difference. I was talking to a guy last week, and he began to tell me about, "Well, I know God. I know about God. I know about God. I know all about God." I said, "Well, so does the devil." People don't like it when you say that, but it's true. And I said, "Listen, a lot of people know about God, but there's a difference between knowing God and being in a relationship with God. There's a difference between knowing a person and being in a relationship with that person. Just because you know about God doesn't mean you're going to glory. Your relationship that you have with God speaks about whether or not you're going to glory. And if you don't have that relationship, the sad news is you're not going. The good news is you have the choice and the ability to establish that relationship and make heaven your home. I mean, that's why He came as a baby in a manger, to face the cruelty of the cross. We dress it up, make it look all nice. Didn't look like that. Didn't look like that. I'm not busting on anybody's artistic design here at all. I'm just saying the cross that they hung Him on wasn't pretty. And it was less pretty when they took Him off it. I remember Saturday morning, I was talking about our future platform, some of the design features that we're going to have in that platform. And one of them is going to be a hole right here. 8x8. And I begin to share the story of a message that I preached. You've maybe even heard about it. It isn't original with me. I took it and made it my own and preached it. But it's called The Whip, Hammer, and the Cross. It's an Easter kind of a sermon and message. But the reality is what happened on Christmas was in preparation for what was going to happen on Easter. I talked about this cross that we're going to build, that we're going to have, that's going to go in the floor, and that we did an illustrated type sermon, and we had a guy comes from the back of the building, and he's dressed up like Jesus, the best that we can, in our finite minds, describe and portray Jesus, and he drags the cross all bloodied and beaten up, and he drags it to the front, and he just flops it. This is what I did. And this is not even comparable for what it sounds like, but when he threw the cross on the ground because he couldn't bear up under the weight, and then I've got big soldier guys up here, and they grab this Jesus and they throw him down and they begin to pound the nails into his arm, and I got dog collars fastened to the arms of the cross, and there's a big block for Jesus to stand on, and we tie his feet to that thing, and then this hole is about this deep in the floor, and when they get him on there, and I'm preaching the whole time about what's going on, about what's taking place, and these guys have Jesus on the cross, and they stand it up, and they just tip it over. And he just goes chunk in the hole, and he just convulses under the... That's what Christmas is all about. Church, I don't hate Christmas. Christmas is not my favorite time of the year. I love the story of what Christmas is about, but Christmas ultimately led to the cross. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about seeing how many presents we can stack under the tree. It's not about that. But the enemy has come in, I believe, and commercialized Christmas to take our focus off the Savior and put it on Santa. I don't hate Santa. I do not hate Santa Claus. Saint Nick is probably a pretty good guy. I don't know who he is. Yeah, I know that. But I still don't know who he is. Right? So I'm not a hater of Christmas, but I feel like my job is to remind us that it's not about what's under that tree. It's about what hung on the tree. We have to acknowledge Jesus as the rightful king of our lives. Can I tell you something? He didn't stay in the manger. He did not stay in the manger. Even the greatest event, the greatest event in history had just happened. The Messiah had been born, and for ages the Jews had waited for this, and when it finally occurred, the announcement came to a bunch of sheep herders. Isn't that amazing? It came to shepherds. The good news about Jesus is that He comes to all, including the plain and the ordinary. He comes to anybody with a heart humble enough to accept Him. We've got a young man that's going to be baptized here this morning. You know why? Because he made a decision in his heart to follow after the Lord. Part of following after the Lord, the Bible says, is following Him in the waters of baptism. I got news for you. He's just as saved sitting there dry as he's going to be after he comes out of there wet. Because that puddle of water over there has nothing to do with his salvation. It has everything to do with obedience to the Lord and His Word. And it is a statement to each one of us sitting here today of an inward change with an outward expression. That's what it's all about. They had waited for it. The good news is that He came. He comes to all of us. Here, He comes to anybody with a heart humble enough to accept Him. You know what? People that are proud-hearted, they really have a hard time with this. I've heard it a long time. You know what? I'm a good person. I'm a good person. I do good things. I don't lie, cheat, steal, all that. I don't do it. Well, that's great. But that still doesn't make you good enough to make heaven. We've got to be born again. Every one of us have to be born again. Whoever you are, whatever you do, you can have Jesus in your life. There's an enemy. I fight him every day. You probably fight him every day. He's doing all that he can to keep you from this place. He's doing everything he can to stop you from serving the Lord. You might be sitting at home today watching on the internet because he has somehow convinced you that you can have just as good a church at home as you can here. I'm going to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell because you cannot. Oh, you know what I wish I'd have done? I got a picture on my phone, Fred. You remember Jack? Remember Jack? Anybody remember Jack? Come here. You have it? Go give it to Fred. I got it right here. I got it right here. Somewhere. I don't know where Jack is. Here he is. Can you put Jack on the screen for us? If you... Your little nephew or grandson or whatever, help me with Jack up here. Remember Jack? Now you remember Jack? Remember what I talked about Jack? Jack was our pumpkin. I preached about a pumpkin. I preached about the way God cleans us all out. And I even threw in there that the light that Christ puts inside of us by His Spirit so the whole world can see. And then I talked about, you know what? If we don't stay together, if we don't come to church, if we don't fellowship with people, we become susceptible. What I used is I talked about coal and fire and all that kind of stuff about how you got to have one piece of coal by itself will go out. But if there's two pieces of coal, it keeps the other one going. Amen. And Jack, as soon as Jack gets just about here, he's just about here. Don't put him up until you tell me you're going to put him up because I want Jack has been by himself. Ever since that Sunday, Jack's been by himself. He's been sitting out in my front yard by himself. And remember, when you stay out of church, you think that... And he looked good for a while, Jack did. He looked good. He looked healthy. His little light inside of him was just glowing. But is Jack... getting close? He's probably somewhere on the east side of the planet somewhere, but he's working his way back around. Jack is. And when you see Jack, I'll just tell you, this is a stark reality of what happens when we stay by ourselves. We might think we're looking, Jack probably still thinks he's looking pretty good, but he isn't. And you're about to see. Jack's, I can feel it. Jack's, listen, this is our church. We don't do things too scripted around here. We just fly by the seat of our pants. And Jack's about to make an entrance, I can tell you for sure. Wait for it. This is one of those videos that says, wait till the end. This is going to be worth the wait because I'm about to demonstrate to you what happens when we isolate ourselves, stay at home, and don't come to church. Amen? I'm not talking to any of you because you're here. Okay? You're here. But this is going to encourage you to be here more often. Amen? Jack is just about here. I can see it. Here he comes. Somebody's got their... Is he here? He's close. He was close a few minutes ago. Well, listen. Wait a minute. No, I need it. They've got it. They've got it. They've got it. And you don't have it. I'll guarantee you don't have it. Oh, did you send it to her too? Okay, well, wait till you see Jack. You'll know what I'm talking about. You'll know what I'm talking about in just a minute. Because Jack was the picture of health. You know why? Because Jack was in church. Jack. Where's Jack at? Jack's showing up in a motorcycle, sounds to me like. Jack's about to come sporting it in here, Brendan. You'll see that Jack had, huh? Oh, I thought somebody said something there for just a second. But listen. We need to have Jesus in our life, or we'll end up. No, he didn't. No. He just sat out there in the yard all by himself and rotted the whole time thinking he is looking good. Is that the only one you got? Yeah. Put that other one up if you can. Now, for those of you that were here on that Sunday when we cleaned it, Jack was looking good. Jack was looking good. But this is what happens when we stay out and we don't get around one another. We can't, nobody can say, hey, you know what? You're looking a little saggy. You know, you're drooping a little bit. How can I help you? All of a sudden, Jack wakes up, and that's what he looks like out in the yard. He's like, "Rrr." Listen, you don't think that you need extraordinary qualifications. He accepts you just like you are. You might look like that on the inside right now. But Jack ain't too far gone for Jesus. Jack's not too far gone for Jesus. So don't think you need extraordinary qualifications. The stunning display of to the shepherds of God's glory and the appearance of the angel naturally frightened the shepherds. But the angel encouraged the shepherds also, saying, listen, we've come with good news of great joy for all people. I'm not trying to scare anybody today. I've got good news. I've got good news. You don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to make heaven your home. Remember the good people I talked about earlier that haven't accepted the Lord? They get mad and they say, well, you know what? How could a God, if He's so loving and so just and so kind, if He's all that, how come He sends me to hell? My news, my word to them is, He doesn't. Because the Bible says God's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord. And so if we end up going to hell, if anybody ends up going to hell, it's because they chose to go there. Because the Bible says God's made a way for every one of us. See, the angel encourages these shepherds. The news, it comprised everyone for which the Jews had been hoping and waiting. The Savior had come. Church, it is true. The Savior of the world has come. He is the reason for the season. He is the reason for the season. It's because of Him that we celebrate Christmas. He's the Savior of the world, and He's come that you and I might have life everlasting. Not just some boring, dry, doldrum kind of life. Life abundant, full of joy, exceeding great joy. He's come that we would have life. Here's a question for you. Did you bring anything for Him? Did we bring anything for Him? See, all He really wants is to remove from you and I the guilt and the burden of sin. He said, cast your cares on me because I care for you. All He wants is your mess. That's the craziest thing. He wants to take from you your sin. In exchange for your sin, He bestows on you and I His righteousness. Amen? All he wants is to remove you from the guilt and burden of sin, to give you the joy and the peace that passes all understanding. Maybe you're already saved. Then what he wants from you then is your worship and your praise. Amen. God loves us, church, more than we can even fathom. I don't mean to point people out or whatever, but you know, Rich and them, they didn't come last night to the thing because they were homesick. And I told him I'd be praying. And I did. And just in our prayer room there this morning, I said, you know, I'm pretty sure, guys, that Rich and Jill would like to be here this morning, but they're not here. They're homesick. And we prayed for them right then. And we came out, and bam, here they are sitting in church. Now, we might just look at that as a coincidence. Or we might look at that as an answer to prayer. And for me personally, I'm not going to say it's anything that I did, but I'm going to act on that as an act of faith, and God answered that. Amen. We're to build ourselves up by faith. We exercise it. We're going to pray in just a moment for people that are sick. Anoint them with oil. Pray the prayer of faith. Believe that God will heal. You know why we don't see Him heal much anymore? Because we don't pray for people. We don't give Him an opportunity to meet our needs. We run down to the doctor. Oh, all right, I'll just move on. It's true, I do it too. The only way I can say it is because I do the same thing. But this morning, we're going to give God a chance. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Church, pray. Pray. I pray somebody gets saved. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. People are praying right now. The Savior has come. And He's come for you. He loves you just like you are. You might feel like Jack looked. You might feel stepped on, wilted, defeated. You might feel rotten. But I can tell you, in a moment, that can all be turned around. It can all be changed. It can all be turned around. God came that you might have life, and that life more abundantly. Yes, He came as a baby in a manger, but His ultimate goal was to die a man on a cross, to redeem you and to redeem me, to secure for us a place in heaven. Every one of us in this room today that have named Jesus as our Lord and Savior have had to come to a place in our life where we have publicly said yes to Jesus. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Today, if that's you, you've never done that, but you want to. Today it is your day. I promise you the best gift that you'll ever receive is the gift of eternal salvation. Christ died. He came as a baby in a manger, died on a cross to redeem you and to redeem me. If you're in this place today and you say, "Preacher, I've never accepted the Lord, but I want to today. I want to know that heaven is going to be mine one day. Should I pass from this earth? Should I die, or should the rapture happen? Lord, I'm going to go with you." If that's you today and you say, "Preacher, I need you to pray for me," I'll pray for you if you'll just slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all? Preacher, that's me. Maybe you're watching by way of the internet. I don't know. But if that's you, just write a little note in the comments there. We'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. Maybe you're here and something happened along the way. You got off track. The winds of life blew and your ship lost its anchor. And now you're floating around out there somewhere and you're wondering, how in the world can I get back to the safety of the harbor? Jesus is the way. He's a water walker. He can come to wherever you're at. Truth is, He's there. The truth is, He's already there. Maybe you accepted the Lord at some point and today you want to recommit, rededicate your life to the Lord. If that's you, it's never too late. You haven't done too many bad things for the Lord to forgive you. All He's asking is you to confess your sin. He said, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray for that today. Anybody in this room today say, preacher, that's me. I want to recommit my life to the Lord. I need a wash job. I see your hand. You can put it down. Father, we love you. We love you today. Anybody else say, preacher? Me. That's me. If you can make your way to the front, if you raised your hand, if you can make your way to the front, I'm going to ask you to come. If you need healing in your body and want prayer, I want you to come. Come on.